We are in Christmas season, and we are continuing through our Taste and See series that we started during the weeks of Advent, where we were hearing the stories of Advent and Christmas, and we were using the five senses to take in the stories and embody the stories of our faith in meaningful ways. So today is New Year's Day. How can we not talk about New Year's Day? So we're going to veer away from those stories a little bit, but hopefully we can still have some conversations about how we take in the message, how we embody that message through our senses, and how we live that message out into the world. So, I know you all stayed up late last night, right? Yeah, I made it to 10:30. And then got woken up by the fireworks at 12:05. But today, with it being New Year's Day, and I think I have a feeling we're going to hear those whistles through the entire message. It might be a lot of fun. A reminder, right? This is celebratory. It's a new year. It's also a time to set those resolutions. So what are some of your New Year's resolutions? Jen?
To cook more.
To cook more.
Lose weight.
That's on my list.
Eat less.
Eat less. Cook more, eat less.
Gain weight.
Gain weight, yes. Right? I know.
I know.
You're a brave man. Other resolutions? I'm sorry?
Exercise
more. I'm sorry?
Write
more. Others?
Be more present.
Be more present. Wonderful. So my resolution setting, starts and ends on New Year's Eve. I do have my list. I found this on the internet, but I was like, oh, that's my list. I could just cross out 2012 and write 2017, because this is probably similar, but just my husband. Be nicer to my husband. And then there are other resolutions that I like to make. So I like to think that, you know, poor Jim is not even in the room. I like to think about how he needs to change because I am perfect in every way. Or there's the other, I could just be more awesome, right? That's a good one. Or the best one of all is, that was the last one. All right. So the truth is I set resolutions for myself every year. Usually it's to change some behavior that I'm not happy with, do something differently. I know myself pretty well, and I like to think I will make those changes, and then I wake up the next day and the resolutions are out the window. So that's my reality. The other thing that I get caught up in, and I will be honest, is telling my husband of all of the resolutions that he needs to make for the coming year. And this is a clip from the movie This Is 40, and this is some insight to my marriage.
The happiest period in people's lives is from age 40 to 60. So this is it. We're in it right now. It's true.
Says who?
Says a lot of people. Most people say that.
Oh.
We have everything we need right now to be completely happy. We're going to blink and be 90.
What?
So let's just choose to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah?
Your eyes are kind of glazing over.
No, I'm just processing.
Some of these are right for you. So we have to exercise every day, spend more time alone together. We have to go to the therapist every week. No stressing over tiny things.
Yeah, that's good. You should do that.
Mm-hmm. We have to get more involved in school, have more patience with the kids, and we need to work on our anger.
You can do anything to hear.
No, I said that for the best.
That's what I said, all right.
No more smoking.
Yeah, you're cut that out.
I don't want to make this about a fight. I want it to be positive.
Sorry.
Okay, and then no more holding on to resentments. We have to just let that go.
So you're saying that if we're arguing and I apologize, you let it go and not throw it back in the face later?
Well, I don't do that. I do not to do that. What'd you write?
All of that. That's plenty. That's a lot.
Better?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing a decent job. I mean, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having some fries with that.
And then I'll smoke that day.
That's not the same thing.
It is the same thing.
I
think fries. And the other thing is your dad's stuff, the not letting him, you know, guilt trip you all the time because that puts a lot of pressure on you and stress, and then the whole family feels it, and he is a grown man, and it's not our responsibility. And you're not giving him money anymore, right?
No, I'm not giving him money. I haven't done that for years, I told you.
Can you please put that down?
Oh, yeah, I do that. I'm really good at making resolutions for him. And, you know, most of the time, when I'm making resolutions, what I discover is that I'm really kind of giving myself a door into looking into what I really need to change within myself. I'm not sure if you all have this experience or if this ever happens to you, but I know sometimes I can just get caught up in the judgment. And especially when I don't want to look inside, I can easily go outside and find someone who's safe, who my husband, who loves me dearly, who I love dearly, and I can start judging someone else, especially if there's love and trust. But really what I need to do, and I remind myself each New Year's, is that I need to look within and discover those patterns within myself that need to change. And sometimes it's really difficult because I have a shadow side. We all have a shadow side. We all have things that are sources of pain or negative habits or things that we wish we could change about ourselves. And it's difficult to look at our own shortcomings. And yet, there's something else there. There's something more when it comes to our faith that allows us the courage, the strength, the trust to be able to do that work. It's not just about us. It's about how God holds us in that process. So let's read together this text. It's in the second letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote to the church there. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God made the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend. We can be tempted to fall into judgment. Judgment on ourselves, judgment on others, making assumptions for others, even just based on the surface characteristics, the way they look, their job, their family, the car they drive. I also find that when I'm making those kinds of judgments and assumptions, it is because I myself am spiritually depleted. Or I find myself allowing someone else to judge me or judging myself, especially when I think that I haven't lived up to my own expectations or expectations that I think that others are putting on me. Or I'm just feeling pressure or stress from family or work or relationships, my family of origin. Those kinds of expectations can hurt us spiritually. But when we follow Jesus, We live each day as a new day, a new chance, a new opportunity, because meaningful life isn't lived on the surface. It is lived in meaningful relationships with God and with others that let go of judgment, let go of the expectations, but trusting God is in this with us, and Jesus is inviting us to go deeper, and he is with us on that journey. So along with making resolutions this year, and I don't think resolutions are a bad thing, but I would like you to think a little bit differently about living with intention. Living with intention is life focused in the present moment, centered and grounded in discovering your authentic self. When we make resolutions for ourselves, it's often centered in things that we do. It's often defined by our work, our jobs, our actions. And resolutions are centered in changing those behaviors. Living with intention is a little bit different. It focuses on being. It focuses on the core of who I am within myself, discovering who I am, the truth that I hold in my center, the values that I want to represent, the ideals I hold. Each one of us has an authentic self that we have the capability of defining who we want to be in the world, and that is living with intention. By letting go of doing and focusing on being, we can let go of those judgments and expectations that we can put on ourselves or that others can place upon us. And we can live more fully into the identity, our identity as children of God, who God has created you to be, who God has created me to be. So how do we live with this kind of intentionality? So I would say that there are three things that I will hold at the center of this. First is that love is lived at the center. It's lived with and through a community built on trust, and it requires a safe space. So when we have love at the center, living with intention means practicing good, honest, and authentic self-care. How I define self-care for myself, how you define self-care for yourself. Because in discovering who you are, it's not just about embracing your gifts. It's about that willingness to look at your shadow side, to learn and to grow. And in relationship with others, love at the center means embracing others for the gifts that they offer, as well as their shadow sides, which is often difficult to do because it forces me to let go of the expectations that I might have for that other person in our relationship with each other. When love is at the center, it allows them to be on their journey, to be where they are, learning what they need to learn, to be who they are at that present moment, and honoring and supporting them right where they are, not what I think they need. So we live with love at the center, and we also focus on building trusting relationships. Trusting ourselves first, thinking about being in relationship with the self, we trust ourselves looking inward so that we can face our shadow side. It's who we are with our scars and wounds. It enables us to transform and grow. And in relationship with others, it builds relationships that honors people on their journey as a companion, as someone else, and in relationship with that person, it's not telling them what they need or giving them advice, but asking them questions so that they're able to discover what they need for themselves. That's often a difficult thing to do. But we can do that when we create a safe space. A safe space for God to speak to us at the depths of our being, at the core of our souls. And when we companion each other and support each other at our own pace, we can grow into deeper relationships with God and with others. So how do we reflect on our intentions? What are your intentions for your journey thinking about this new year. I also think about intentions in terms of the greatest commandment, because for me, that is the most concrete way of thinking. In Matthew and in Mark, where Jesus is asked, what is the core of our faith? And he says, it's to love God and to love our neighbors with our whole heart, strength, soul, and heart, strength, soul, and mind. So this is the core for me, what it means to be a Christian. And as I interpret that commandment in terms of living with intention, it's about how can I connect myself more authentically in those relationships in healthy, trusting ways that allow someone else to be who they are on this journey. So what I would like to do now is to take some quiet time, because I'm sure in all the hustle and bustle and the busyness of the last week, have you all had any quiet time? So I thought we'd have some quiet time just to reflect on some questions, if it's helpful to close your eyes and come into a meditative space, so that you have an opportunity to think and reflect meaningfully. What are your intentions for your journey? Who do you want to be? What are your deepest values? Take a moment and listen to your life. What are the attributes you want to embrace? Is it courage? Is it love? Compassion? Mercy? Who are you at the core of your being? Listen carefully to your own inner wisdom, your own inner teaching. What is your deepest truth? What are God's intentions for my life? What are my intentions for this new year? I invite you to take a moment in the silence and hold on to your intentions for the journey. Listen for your inner voice. Listen for God speaking to you. And I'm going to invite you to go around the room. You'll notice there are mirrors that have been placed all around the room. And some of them have the word intentions written right on the mirror. And there are some crayons that you can write right on the mirror. And I invite you to take a moment and stand in front of the mirror and see yourself as God has created you to be, as a beautiful and loved child of God. And I invite you to just write a word or a phrase, write them down on the mirror as your intentions for the journey. And the intentions may be clear for you, or this might be a thought that you've never had before. So wherever you are, we want to honor where you are on your journey. But as you feel moved, I invite you to come around the room. There's one in the back and over on the sides. And to take a moment and pray for your intentions where God is leading you. And if you're not ready to walk up to one of the mirrors, I invite you to come up front for a time.
A lot of times we have assumptions. always have a physical side to all behaviors, including intentions. I just want to show you, a lot of people walk in a way that's really not too healthy for them, and they have the intention without even realizing it, that they're just space and time. They're not really, they're just being held back and held in. And if you go to the mall, you'll see many, many people doing that. Because a good walk, an ergonomic walk, if you're walking the way God made you to walk, you're walking through space and time, not just at space and time. It makes a tremendous difference in how you handle that intention. So when you're thinking about your intentions for your new year, think about the physicality of that intention I ask you to do, because it will reveal a lot about your authentic self. Most people don't think about how their intention of motion and physicality, even the way you hope for somebody else, has a physical component. Okay?
Thanks, Betsy.
My intention this year is get more organized.
So to close this time together, I have a prayer to usher in the new year. May God make your year a joy-filled one, not by shielding you from all sorrow and pain, but by strengthening you to bear it as it comes. Not by making your path easy, but by making you sturdy to travel the path. Not by taking hardships from you, but by taking fear from your heart. Not by granting you unbroken sunshine, but by keeping your face bright, even in the shadows. Not by making your life always pleasant, but by showing you when people and their causes need you most, and by making you anxious to be there to help. God's love, peace, hope, and joy to you, to all of you, for the year ahead. Amen.